You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35, and we're back here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. We're having a roundtable discussion on dog breeding, and we have with us in the studio, not a breeder, but a trainer, Mike Morgan from Mid-Michigan Kennel, sitting in the Rick Pruse chair for a, I won't say vacationing, but at a conference, Rick Pruse. And we have with us in the studio a couple of very professional breeders, Pauline Mortier from Lubberline Kennel Labradors, and we also have with us Carol Bergman from Darbydale Kennels. We were just talking before the break about the issue of what goes into a great male and female dog for breeding. A lot of the breeding that goes on is for show. And Carol, you've got the most experience when it comes to at least achieving tremendous success. I still, to this day, rave about that performance by Josh in 2004 and refer everybody to YouTube. But I guess I would like to share with the listeners what goes into the concept of showing these dogs. What kind of effort does it take to get their coat and their training? And then also the expense that's got to be tied to all of the previous shows that you have to get to qualify for the big show in New York?
Well, it all starts, it's a layering effect. We start back with the parents, their qualities. You breed the dogs, you have the puppies, you get through that. Hopefully you have a puppy you can keep, one or two. Most are pets and you like to find good pet homes. When you get the one star that you're thinking, oh, this might be it, it starts with the socialization, and then you go from there. It's a layering effect. You socialize. You also start the process of keeping the, in my case, with the dogs with the heavy coats, you have to keep it groomed. You have to condition it. There's also nutrition. That's going to play a huge role in how your dog looks and the coat condition, the muscling. That's another checklist that is huge. You know, so you have to start all that at an early age also.
And when it comes to, in terms of the judging of these dogs, Pauline, I understand that you have done quite a bit of judging for Labradors only. You've been very, very specific about that. But what is it when you're judging these dogs? What are you looking for exactly when it comes to picking that one special dog in these shows that's going to qualify for advancement to go on to the bigger and better shows?
First of all, I spent a number of years in Labradors and being encouraged by other well-known breeders nationally and internationally to, quote, get my license, to be an AKC licensed judge. I would suppose for my breed that they must always retain what they were bred for. Number one, soundness, movement, temperament. Confirmation, the way that they look. I've judged in Brazil, Europe, Canada, all over the U.S., but mostly I judge what we call our specialties when there's only a Labrador there. But temperament, first and foremost, for any breed, they must be able to be examined by the judge and be a pleasant example of the breed for not just the judge, but for the general public, because the shows, dog shows, are for the general public, not just the breeder.
Paul, when you look at these Labradors in the ring, I've heard people refer to, oh, that's out of a Canadian line or it's out of a British line. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard that maybe referenced before as far as the size of the dog and some of those other issues. Can you explain maybe where that's coming from as far as where people get this idea it's a British dog or I look at this dog and I see Canadian lines in it?
First of all, every breed, not just my Labrador breed, has a standard that you need to follow. And breeders generally compete at what we call our specialties, where only your breed is there. And for us in the Labrador breed, it may be Westminster for the general public, which I've had one of the dogs, one of my own dogs, go best of breed there. But that is not the big show. The big show is called the Labrador Retriever Club of the Potomac, the largest specialty of any breed now in the world. And the competition comes from all over the world, people with Labradors, people that are judges of Labradors, people that are breeders, people that have pets. And their temperament, I must say, is the hallmark of my breed, and I think of every breed. Secondly, soundness. They must be able to move correctly. And you have to remember that they are a sporting breed, and they are intended to be a retrieving breed. So those specialties in that breed have to be kept. You want to know how I judge. I hope fairly.
Well, I think that a lot of times can be subject to whose dog places where. But I do believe you that you are trying to pick on those criteria. Carol, one of the things she was talking about, soundness, one of the things that made Josh's performance so outstanding was how he performed in the ring in terms of the interaction with the crowd. When he talked to the crowd at the end, it was absolutely, it brought down the house. And I guess I would wonder, how the heck did you breed for that? Or is that something that you just trained for? Or is it just a unique characteristic to the dog where you got lucky and the timing was everything?
Well, you try to breed for that temperament. And not every dog has a temperament that's going to go out and show itself off. They all should have good temperaments, stable temperaments. But there are times when you have that star that just shines, and that's what he did. He was always a dog that did that. He liked attention. He loved people. And he started knowing to play to the crowd. Wow. And he was just a natural at that.
He certainly was.
So you've taken all the time to assess a male and a female, and they've been cleared. And you made the decision to breed, and the breeding goes successful, and you've got a litter of 7, 8, 9 puppies on the ground. When people come to you now and they want to purchase one of your puppies, because I know every time Disney puts out a 101 Dalmatian movie, I start seeing 101 Dalmatians in obedience classes over the course of that year.
Right.
So we're doing a radio show about Newfoundlands and Labradors and people who are looking at maybe getting a breed. They like what they're hearing from you, our guest here today, about what time and energies you put into selecting before you breed. So they come to you now and they want to get one of your puppies. Do you have a checklist that you make people go through, or a kind of a screening that you do before anybody gets one of your puppies?
Yes, we have a screening process, has several questions on a questionnaire. And then if they need to come out and visit. They need to see the puppies, and then they need to see what they're going to turn into as the adults. A lot of the people that are interested in puppies see the dogs at the show, and of course they're immaculately groomed. They're kept perfect. The dogs don't actually look like that all the time. They go out and play, and they slobber, and they dig holes, and people need to see what the actual dog does. So we suggest they come out, visit the puppies, play with the puppies, and then see the adults, visit the adults. Because believe it or not, there are people that see these cute little puppies and they have no idea what they're going to turn into as adults. So the best way to do that is have a questionnaire, get the answers that you like to hear from a family or a person, and then you take it from there. And meeting them, too, you can sense, you know, if you like the person, if the person likes you, if you're going to get along with a relationship, because I don't just sell the puppy and then forget it. It's a lifelong relationship through the life of the dog. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times after that, because you become friends.
All right.
So, you know, it continues on.
And what about you, Polly?
I don't breed that much anymore since I'm living by myself after my husband died. But when I do have a litter, I never have enough puppies to supply, simply because after these many years, you build a reputation. However, besides questionnaires, I prefer to meet the people, especially bring the children. And once in a blue moon, I will refuse to sell a puppy to a family because they're not prepared and they haven't, how shall I put this kindly, trained their children to handle a puppy.
I have a sign out at the kennel, Pauline, that says, all dogs welcome, children must be on a leash. So I know exactly where you're going with that.
It's absolutely true. I do have some well-known stud dogs, and I can oftentimes refer people to other breeders. And if they're willing to take my advice, because my stud dogs have puppies, not just here in the United States and Canada, but internationally, but especially in another state, I can refer them to that person and they can have a puppy sent to them if they'll trust in my judgment or in another breeder's judgment. But it's a guessing game for some people as to what breed would suit them. You know, the Newfie is a big dog and needs some space to exercise. The Labrador is a little bit more compact, but you can't just put a puppy in a crate and take off and hope that they're going to be well socialized. They need a family. They need room. They need space. They need attention. It's like a 7 or 8 year old child coming into your home.
Yeah, and there's a lot that goes into taking good care of those pets and training them. And we're going to continue that conversation right after the break here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.